Leibowitz. Rabbi Leibowitz is the head of Smicha. He has a shul in northern five towns. I forget which of them. I think it's with the L or something. They're all the same to me. I just know there's a lot of good food in the five towns. Beis Knesses and Rabbi Leibowitz, it's a privilege and pleasure, and we really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rabbi Wasserman, for inviting me. It's always a zuchus to partner with you in anything, anything that I have the opportunity to. Rabbi Wasserman asked that I speak about a number of particular questions, all relating to making sure that when one begins to work, that they maintain their learning and that they continue to grow as a Talmud Chacham and as a Lomei Torah. So in a certain sense, I'm like the last person that is capable of addressing these issues, because I've never really had this challenge. I mean, my job has always been to continue to learn and to teach, so it always involved learning more so that I could teach more. So I never really faced the particular challenge of being in a secular work environment where you're working a full day and still trying to make sure that you have time to learn and that you have time for ruchnius and that your growth isn't stunted. Having said that, Rabbi Wasserman asked me to speak, so we're going to talk about it a little bit to the best of my ability. And at the very least, I've been able to see what seems to work in other people, meaning I do have a lot of friends and people at Daven in my shul and many Talmidim, Baruch Hashem, who are really extraordinary in their ability to continue to learn and to become Talmidei Chachamim and to grow even after they begin their careers. So Rabbi Wasserman specifically asked me to speak about five things, the first of which is any tips to success in sticking with your learning while you are in the workplace, what works for people and what doesn't. Just even the very notion of asking that question is already a victory, meaning a lot of times people just assume that they'll figure out what works. And one of the most important things to do when you want to improve at anything, when you want to work on anything, is to look at other people who are successful and see how they're doing it, and see how what brings them their success. And I'm sure everybody here knows somebody or several people that you look at and you say, wow, I don't know how they do it, but that guy is awesome. The fact that that person is managing a hedge fund, a partner in a law firm, is working hard, day and night in whatever industry it may be, and they somehow manage to also give the Daf Yomi Shir in their shul, or they happen to be such a Talmud Chacham, they're always holding and learning, you're always able to talk to them in learning. You know such people. So a very good starting point is look at them, see what works for them, see what they do. If you can't tell by looking, ask them. Have a direct conversation where you ask what works for you, and try to incorporate that into your own life. Having said that, there are certain things that do seem to be good for many people, that seem to work for a lot of people. There is a wonderful book that I believe Rabbi Wasserman had what to do with, was connected with, in addition to Rabbi Wasserman's workplace halacha books. There's a wonderful book by Rav Lapiansky Shlita that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, called Ben Torah for Life. And in that book, Rav Lapiansky has a whole chapter on how to succeed in learning. And some of the key ingredients that he identifies is to be part of a chabura, to be part of a group of people that are learning together, where there's an expectation, where if you miss one morning or one day, someone's going to say, oh, we missed you in the Beis Medrash this morning. You know, it's unfortunate that that we operate this way, but people in general, not just Jewish people, all people operate with a lot of our motivation comes from peer pressure, comes from trying to fit in, comes from what other people expect of us. Now, we are capable of self-motivating also. People can accomplish a great deal and stand up to a lot of peer pressure and are able to be very independent. But usually those are moments in time. You know, there's a moment where you're feeling pressure to do something and you're able to overcome that pressure. On an ongoing basis, it would be very, very difficult for a person if they're constantly fighting the battle on their own. On an ongoing basis, it's very important for us to have that sense of positive peer pressure, of feeling like we're part of a group, and if I want to remain part of this group, I want to remain part of this chevra, then I need to be doing the right thing. So joining in something that is with, together with a group of people, where people will notice if we're not there. In addition to that, I think it's also very important that there be clear goals and expectations. That if a person just says, you know, I'm going to learn, let's say, Bab Basra, until I finish. And, you know, I'll learn with my Chavrusa. And when we finish, we finish. Whenever that may be. Maybe in a year from now, maybe in 10 years from now, maybe in 20 years from now, we're just going to learn. So it's wonderful if a person does that and they learn 2 hours a night the Chavrusa in a base medrash, and they go, you know, in over the course of 5 years, let's say, they finish Maseches Bab Basra. But very few people are capable of really staying motivated not to bottle and to continue to learn in a serious way if there's no expectation of an amount of ground that they want to cover, if there's no requirements that they set for themselves in terms of kamus. This is somewhat countercultural because in yeshiva, that's not the way we generally operate. And for most yeshivas, Limud Bi'iyun is celebrated in yeshiva. And most rebbeim and yeshiva do not tell you in advance. It's not like a secular class where they'll give you a syllabus and they'll tell you what will be covered in the syllabus. But in Iyun Shir, the Rebbe will never say, rarely will the Rebbe say on the first day, okay, we're going to cover 40 blad in Shir this year, and we're going to cover these major sugyas, and we're going to do it well. Usually it's, okay, we'll start learning and we'll see how far we get. We'll see how far. That's one of the major changes that happens when you join Smicha. When you're in a Smicha Shir, like, you know, there's accountability. You got to be able to paskin all the Yaradeya Shailas. And you can't just, like, skip. You can't skip things that are very critical. You can't, like, learn Hilcha Shabbos and, like, skip Bishul. You know, you can't skip important things. You can't learn Hilchas Nida and, you know, skip major sections of the Halacha and then tell these people to go out and be the poskim in Hilchas Nida. But in yeshivas, you don't really have that so much. Maybe we need more of it in yeshiva. One of my rebbeim, Rav Silver Shlita, used to tell us that he wishes that people would treat Talmud Torah a little bit more like they treat secular subjects. And you would think, well, what do you mean? That's terrible. Why would you treat Talmud Torah like a secular subject? You want Talmud Torah to be better, more than a secular subject. Yeah, but halavai, that people would set expectations for themselves in Talmud Torah. A lot of times people are just, you know, if they're learning, they already view that as a success. It's a partial success, but real success is, you know, the complete success is having genuine expectations of oneself. So speak to other people, see what works for them, be part of a chabura, and set real expectations for yourself. If possible, another tip for success that seems to work for a lot of people, although a lot of people are afraid to do this, but I think it's a really, really good idea, is to take bechinas. Find a program where you have to take a test. I know it seems childish. What do I need bechinas for? You know, even for many people in college, you know, even in your shiurim, the bechinas aren't so serious. You don't have to take the bechinas, or you don't take shiur for credit, so it doesn't really matter so much. It's really a big mechayiv. If at some point you have to stop and chazer and make sure you know something, and it makes a world of difference. The difference between going to a shiur and listening and, you know, in one ear, out the other, versus having real accountability and real knowledge of something is huge. And now, Baruch Hashem, there are so many programs where there are bechinas. You know, the Dirshu program and the Smichas Chaver program. There are all these programs where a person has the ability to take bechinas. It's a very, very good idea to have accountability in your learning. The second thing that Rabbi Wasserman asked me to address is the possibility of staying in yeshiva a little bit longer. I mentioned this, I think, in a Sichas Musa recently, that it's a shame that we don't do that more. I understand there are a lot of challenges in doing so. Usually we're not the only decision makers involved in doing so. There are parents who are ready for us to move on. Sometimes there's a spouse involved who's ready for us to move on. And it would be really a huge bracha if we were able to somehow change the culture a little bit. We're to become just like, it wasn't always the expectation that people in the modern Orthodox community would spend a year in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly not 2 years in Eretz Yisrael. In my generation, the big discussion that most guys in yeshivas in Israel had was, are you going to fight your parents to get Shana Bet? Is it going to be worth the fight, the argument to get Shana Bet? Nowadays, usually it's not such a fight to get Shana Bet. It's almost like a guarantee. In certain yeshivas, it's almost like a guarantee that you're going to get, that you're going to go for 2 years in Israel. Baruch Hashem, Achshir Dora, we've made strides. There's no reason that we can't make similar strides in continuing to learn after finishing college. How much of a difference does it really make in our life if we start our graduate school or our jobs 1 year later? In terms of our ruchnius lives, it will make a world of difference in our lives. So it's especially since the reality being what it is, many of the times when we're learning when we're 18 years old or 19 years old, right after high school, a lot of the times we're not really sure how to learn yet. We're just, the goal is almost to learn, to want to learn, or to want to connect to Hashem in some meaningful way. And we don't even really have a sense of how to learn. A lot of times, even the level that we're learning on at that age is not a serious, serious level. But after spending a few years in a Rosh Yeshiva's shir and spending a few years in our Beis Medrash, a person feels like they're much more established and learning, much more capable of learning. And, I've mentioned in the past, there is what to learn from other Torah communities where it's become expected that someone learns when they for a year or two when they start off married life. It would be wonderful if our community were to start such a trend. It's really can be life changing in terms of your overall commitment to Talmud Torah, let alone your shalom bayis and your ability to start off marriage on the right foot with the proper sense of ruchnius as a person starts off. In fact, in yeshiva, we're working very hard on sort of making sure that this happens. That this is something that's doable for people. One of the things that we did over the past year is we realized that for a lot of people, they would love to learn for another year, but how are they going to explain to graduate school what they've been doing for the last year? I've been engaged in Talmudic studies. Oh, you mean you've been wasting your time? You haven't been doing anything? You haven't been accomplishing anything? We're in such a degree-oriented society that people don't really understand. So now we offer a master's degree. You come and you learn, you'll get a master's degree from REITs for learning full-time. You'll take, there are a few requirements of attending shir and attending seder and maybe an extra weekly shir with Rav Feldman on topics in Shas. There's a way to do it. We're offering that opportunity. And the point of that is just to get guys to stay, just to get guys to continue to learn a little bit. I see the note, and I will end on time. There is also a very important value, I think, in teaching Torah. Teaching Torah, the Gemara says that Torah's chesed is Torah to be melamed. Torah's, when a person is learns Torah for oneself without wanting to be melamed Torah to other people, so that's not called a Torah's chesed. We just had in the Daf Yomi, the Gemara mentions that it's like a hadas in the midbar, that a person who learns Torah for themselves and doesn't teach Torah to other people, it's like this fragrant, beautiful hadas in a midbar where there's nobody to enjoy the hadas. And part of the the value that of Talmud Torah, a major part of the value of Talmud Torah, and part of what the Torah itself emphasizes and what the Rambam emphasizes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, is the mitzvah to teach Torah to other people. But and we often do stress that, the idea of teaching Torah. Now, why is it so valuable to teach Torah? So there are a number of reasons why it's valuable to teach Torah, some of which we often think of and some of which we don't often think of. Well, one reason that it's valuable to teach Torah is to gain clarity in your own learning. If you can't say it over to somebody else, you probably don't have perfect clarity yet. And it just forces us to be able to make sure that we really understand something. To be able to share Torah with other people means that we really understand the Torah to a greater degree. Not only that, it will stick with us. I have a wonderful friend who, when I'm not around North Woodmere, it's North Woodmere, by the way, that's the town. But when I'm not around North Woodmere, I have a wonderful friend who fills in and gives a daf yomi shir in my place, and he tells me all the time, the dapim that I taught and didn't just listen to you on, I know them so much better. I have such a better knowledge of those dapim. To be able to teach Torah to other people enhances our learning. But there's something else involved as well, and that is that, I think I mentioned this recently also, that you know there are certain relationships in life that are just so valuable to a person. And you know, if you don't have those relationships, you don't know what it is. It's like if your person was an only child their whole lives, so they don't exactly know what a brother is. They don't exactly know what a sister is, and they're missing out on a very valuable relationship. Not their fault. It's not in their control, but they're missing that kind of relationship. You think of yourselves. If you know, you have some friends that probably never had a Rebbe, that you know just bounced around. Maybe some of you had the experience of bouncing around to a different shir every semester in yeshiva, never really connected to any Rebbe at any point in your life. You know, you could still be a good Jew. You're just missing a very important relationship. And I think one of the relationships that's not spoken about often enough is not only to be a Talmid to your Rebbe and to have a Rebbe, but to be a Rebbe to your Talmidim. It's very, very valuable to have Talmidim, to have people who connect to you in that way. There's a certain nachas that a person has from that. There's a certain joy that a person has in being able to know that that you've impacted other people with your Torah. So aside from just your own Torah knowledge that's enhanced by teaching Torah to other people, there's a human element. There's an interpersonal relationship element in terms of teaching Torah to other people. And when one has Talmidim, you've just added a dimension to your life. It's a very, very beautiful dimension. As far as what to prioritize in learning, which is the last topic I'll spend, you know, half a minute on, it's a person has to enjoy what he's learning, but that's not everything. I mean, you have to enjoy what you're learning, but there are certain basics that you do have to take care of. I have a friend who finished Shas, and at his Siyum HaShas, his Rosh Yeshiva said to him, you know, it's beautiful that you finished Shas, but you should know, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that you have to finish Shas. It does say in Shulchan Aruch that you have to do Shnayim Mikravecha Targum. Meaning there are certain basics that you have to do. Shnayim Mikravecha Targum, you have to do. A person has to keep their head in learning in Torah Shebal Peh as well. So even though you may enjoy Hashkafa or Chasidus or something like that, and you should learn those things that you enjoy, that cannot be the entirety of your learning. It may inspire you to more learning, but you have to make sure that your learning hasn't become only inspiration and hasn't inspired you toward anything. It's supposed to inspire you toward more of the meat and potatoes of Yiddishkeit. And with that, I will wish all of you continued success in your Talmud Torah, in your Avodas Hashem, and in all of your endeavors as you go forward in life. And I want to thank again Rabbi Wasserman for having me speak with you. It's always a pleasure and an honor.
Rabbi Leibowitz, thank you so much. Do you have a few minutes just to stay on if people have questions after? I just have to talk about one new program we're starting.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. So guys, get your questions ready. I will as well for Rabbi Leibowitz. I just want to talk about the Mishnah program that we're starting. It's going to be starting tomorrow. So let me introduce it. This is an optional program for everyone. You can get extra credit on your final grade. In other words, final grade if you get an X, it's going to be added a 3% to the final grade, not to the paper, not to the final, to the final grade. So if you get in the end of the day an 88 and you did the Mishnah program successfully, it will be a 91. Okay, so that's fairly significant. So what is required is as follows. Every day we're going to have, and what we're trying to do here is koveya eating the Torah. We're getting used to learning in excess of what we're currently doing, in excess of what we are required to do by the yeshiva. So that's koveya team. I am personally a big fan of learning Mishnayos. If you know Mishnayos, your learning of Gemara is excessively easy, much easier. If you know Mishnayos well, anytime a Mishnah is quoted, anytime, many times there are brises that are quoted that have similar concepts to a Mishnah. If we know Mishnayos, our Gemara learning is dramatically easier. So the program is to learn Mishnayos. It's going to go through the end of the semester, including through from the finals probably. I would say that there are still people from last, when I taught a year ago, there are a couple of guys that are still learning on the program today. So we continued even after the semester, so I would urge you to think about continuing. In fact, next week we are finishing Moed. We did all of Moed in the past year, 15 minutes a day. And what it is listening to audios, listening attentively to audios. There'll be links. I'll actually show you what it is right now. I'll bring up the web page. And it's a big, basically a document that we have starting tomorrow. And it says which Mishnayos. We're going to do the Masechta that Yeshiva is learning. So we're going to do, Baba Basra. And it's going to be Karak Aleph, the first three Mishnayos tomorrow. And you listen to the audio until 13:05. And then the next day from 13 till the end, it'll probably be approximately 15 minutes a day. The Mishnayos are done in detail. You should sit with the Mishnah in front of you. And then I'm hoping that there will be a Chazara audio. So it would be much quicker. So you'll hear the audios twice. John Hurwitz has volunteered to do the Chazara audios because I don't have those done for Nezikin. So it will be listen to the audio. We do the Perek. Then there'll be a Chazara audio. Shabbos, do Chazara. And what's required is you have to know it. So at the end of every class, we will have a Kahoot. We will have a Kahoot on the prior week's Mishnayos. So you have to pass 80% on the Kahoots. We'll end probably a few minutes early each class. We'll have a Kahoot at the end of the class. Anyone on the Mishnah program, sign up. I will now put into the chat. I will put in the location of the doc. So there you are. Guys, sign up whenever anyone's interested. What you have to do is put in the time that you learn the Mishnayos. When you finish the Mishnayos, but the point here is to get used to doing it the same time every day. That's koveiti matar. It's convenient for me today to do it in the morning and tomorrow in the afternoon and the evening. Try to do it at the same time every day, koveya eating the Torah. Fill it in. Don't miss any days. Shabbos, do a lot of Chazara. And then we have the Kahoot for the prior week after each class. Any questions on this quickly? And then I'm going to open up to questions for Rabbi Leibowitz. Ellie, go ahead.
When does it start?
Starts tomorrow, Wednesday. Starts tomorrow. Every day, no audios on Shabbos, but Chazara on Shabbos.
Okay, so thank you so much, Rabbi Leibowitz. That was amazing. I just have a quick question in terms of Shnai Mikra.
Yeah.
I know it's a separate mitzvah, but can that be considered also being Koveh Yitim? Let's say you do it a set time every day. Can that also be your Koveh Yitim by doing Shnai Mikra, or it's a separate mitzvah? It's not necessarily the same
thing. I think Shnai Mikra is a form of Talmud Torah. So, yeah, I think it can be Koveh Yitim. You know, the Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is very flexible in terms of what you learn, but not not 100% flexible, meaning there are certain requirements. Like, for example, the Gemara says in Kiddushin that a person is supposed to do Shlish b'Mikra, Shlish b'Mishnah, Shlish b'Talmud, which we accomplish, the Rabbi Natan writes, through learning Talmud Bavli. But meaning what the Gemara is telling you is that you can't just learn whatever you want. There are certain requirements that you have to learn. So Shnayim Mikra should be viewed as something that's sort of a requirement that you have to learn within the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I mean, I don't think it's an independent mitzvah.
Eli Schloss, go ahead.
First of all, Rabbi, thank you. Second of all, Rabbi mentioned that there are some specific things that we must learn. So I don't know if Rabbi could clarify what those basics might be.
To paraphrase Rav Shachter, basically Kala Torah Kula. Rav Shachter often points out that it's not so hard to learn Kala Torah Kula. It's just, you know, but at the very least, a person should try to set himself on a path where you're marching toward finishing Shas, you're marching toward finishing Tanakh. Assume you have a whole lifetime to do it, and that it doesn't have to be with the Daf Yomi, it doesn't have to be at a very high a very rapid pace. But there should be accomplishments. Meaning, sometimes you find people that just they spend all their times in the parparaos, in the extra spices that make Torah more sweet and more beautiful, which are so wonderful and so great to do. But we have to realize that they're there to inspire us to greater avodas Hashem without losing sight of the ikar avodas Hashem, that which we're required to do. Certainly, we're required to know basic halacha, to have a real knowledge of basic everyday halacha, and we're required to know a basic amount of Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh. So I think that always has to be the core.
Joshua, go ahead.
Thank you, Rabbi. What does Rabbi think of the derech of working very hard for 15, 20 years or however long with a goal of being able to retire early and then be able to learn full time?
It doesn't work for everybody. It's not so easy to do. A person has to have not only be very brilliant and very creative and figure out a way to make a ton of money, they also need a tremendous amount of siyata deshmaya and a tremendous amount of discipline. Mishiyesh lamana ratzu masayim, a person who has X amount of money will always want more money. It's natural to the human condition that people are like that. And it's very rare to find a person who works for a short amount of time, for a couple of decades, and says, okay, that was enough. Now I can invest this money for a couple of hours a day, and I'll learn the rest of the day. You may know such people, but it's very, very rare. I don't think that's a game plan to say, you know, I'll come back to learning in 15 years. Your game plan has to be for today. You know, that how am I going to be successful as a Ben Torah today? How am I going to grow today? It's not, you can't push off growing till when you retire, no matter how early you plan on retiring.
Great answer. Daniel Greenblatt, go ahead.
So I was wondering if you are a Rebbe. So obviously you have to prepare, let's say you're a high school Rebbe, so you're preparing, I don't know how much you prepare, but what does Koveil Itim look like if your profession is being a Rav? Is it just what you're preparing for Shir, is it more, or is it?
So it really depends on the job. Not every high school is the same. When I taught for 18 years in a high school, in DRS, we used to learn a different Masechta every year. Now they changed that. Now the Rebbeim teach the same thing every single year. So in most high schools, people are teaching the same thing every single year, which makes it kind of a cushy job in the sense that you already have it all worked out. You can anticipate every question the kid is going to ask. You have all your projects and all of the you've done it for X number of years. So then it's really, really important that you learn something else. Also, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita told us when I brought some of the Smicha boys to meet with him last year that he was terrified to go into chinuch because he saw too many rebbeim in his life who were burnt out. By burnt out, he means that he saw that the only thing they could talk to you and learning about was what they were actually teaching. And it was the same thing every year. He said, I don't even know what they did all afternoon. They would teach in the morning, then they would go home in the afternoon. And he said, I don't know what they were doing all day, but it wasn't learning. And a person always has to be growing. So if you're in a kind of yeshiva environment where you're learning a new masechta each year, good. So throw yourself into that masechta. You always have to know it better than, you always have to know more than exactly what you're teaching. You know, you have to know what to be megala, what exactly to that won't confuse the talmidim. But you always have to know the material really well. Rav Shachter often points out, even to teach elementary school, he said he was zocha to have rebbeim in elementary school who were tremendous talmidei chacham. Rav Yankelovich zichrono levracha was Rav Shachter's like second grade rebbe or something. He said he'd teach chumash Rashi. He knew every gemara that the Rashi was based on and all the other rishonim on that gemara. And he said that made him a much better rebbe. To be able to have that Torah knowledge.
Seth Maza.
Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi. Shalom. 1 second. Yeah, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi. I was just curious. Rabbi mentioned the important value of teaching Torah. I'm just curious, if someone's working in the workforce, where are they supposed to find such opportunities to teach Torah?
So I think that there are a lot of opportunities. I'll tell you what happens in my community, you know. And first of all, certainly if you go to a community that is not rich with talmidei chachamim, where they can use people who are willing to teach. That's the other pshat the Gemara gives in Rosh Hashanah that we had in Daf Yomi the other day, where the Gemara talks about a hadas b'midbar, that, you know, if a person is walking in the midbar, there's nothing beautiful to look at, there's nothing fragrant to smell, there's nothing beautiful to see, and they come across a hadas, and that hadas is so much more appreciated. When you go to a community that maybe doesn't have as many talmidei chachamim, your willingness to teach Torah, your willingness to share Torah is going to be, there's going to be a hunger, there's going to be people that are interested in it. But even in a community full of Bnei Torah and Talmidei Chachamim, the communities that many of us are from, you know, the Five Towns community, the Tina community, I'll tell you, in my shul, there's a guy who is an attorney, a hardworking attorney, and he decided he's going to give a Friday night chabura every single week throughout the winter when Shabbos is early. So he makes challent, he makes a good challent, his wife bakes, you know, so brings the people in, and he doesn't get insulted if only a few people show up, and sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's a little, some years he's had a lot, but he never stopped, and he just keeps teaching Torah, and he keeps preparing shiurim, and he now has hundreds of sugyas that he's prepared, because he's so well, he really prepares the sugya well every single week. Another group of chevra decided that after the early minyan on Shabbos morning, they'll have a rotating chabura, where once every 6 weeks or so, each of them will take a turn to teach Torah. There are opportunities. Sometimes you have to create those opportunities, but they're there, and they're worthwhile.
Eli Gelfand.
Oh, sorry, I think I already asked my question. I forgot to lower my hand.
Okay, anyone else? All right, I'm staying on. If anyone wants to stay on, Rabbi Leibowitz, always a pleasure hearing you. Always. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.